Oh, Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the bride of every nation is awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Just worship Him. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all. I surrender to the King. Once again, let the worshipers, oh, let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all. I surrender to the King. At first verse again. Father, I see that you're drawing. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Just let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let's sing. Oh, Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing, holding your hand. So let the kingdom come. Yes, live and live in me. This is my prayer. This is my prayer. Let the worshipers arise.
Say it to him.
Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the
worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor, and worthy of all glory. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, whether you want to or not. We can either bow willingly, or are we going to bow one day? Doesn't matter. Every knee, the Bible says, shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's kind of what we're going to speak on today. We're going to this afternoon. We are having another baptismal service, and many times we just kind of go to the water, and we will be baptized because our friend did. We'll get baptized because my mama did. We'll get baptized because my boyfriend did. But you need to be baptized because God said you need to do it. Amen. To get your Christian walk started right, you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized right. Amen. And the scriptures are not confused. The scriptures are not confusing. God didn't come to give us confusion. He came to give us, I'm going to read it in just a minute, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Not three or four gods, not three or four gospels, messages different than what the ones that are in the Bible. And definitely there's only one baptism. Amen. Thanks again for our brothers and sisters coming from Beaufort, South Carolina, coming all this way up here to be with us. Brother Jaime Maldonado and his family, we just love you with the love of the Lord and just appreciate you. And thank you for coming. And I think they're staying over till tomorrow, which is wonderful. That way you don't have to rush back home. And that's wonderful. So we appreciate that. So God bless you. Remember the announcements we were making this morning about the this Wednesday night. I'll be speaking again. After the second service, there will be a baptismal service out here in the new baptismal pool that we have. There'll be two or three, maybe even four being baptized. I just got a feeling there's another somebody going to be baptized. So I just a feeling. And then after that, we'll come back in here and have a cake and ice cream birthday celebration for my mother, which is 80 years old today. And next Sunday, we'll have communion and foot washing. June the 18th, we'll have a fishing trip at Brother Terrence's lake. It'll be just for the men and the children, boys only. Hot dogs, hamburgers, and we'll fish, get all that together. And then that same Sunday, Brother Daniel Perry will be speaking for us on the 19th. Now, again, to announce the July the 22nd trip to Ohio, there's a couple more signed up, but we will be leaving on Thursday afternoon, evening at 10 o'clock at night. Right? And just keep that in your prayer. Pack light. And remember, you're responsible for your food going, and you're responsible for your food coming. And if you want anything in between all that, that's your responsibility. Most of everything else will be provided by the church while we're up there. Everybody understand what I'm saying? All right, so also remember the announcement about the ladies' restroom. Just put toilet paper in the bathrooms, not anything else. If you need to put anything else, put it in the trash can, all right? And then we'll have that fixed. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Regina is our tour guide, and she's going to be our bus monitor, too. So y'all better get to like her now. Give her, like, candy and stuff. I'm going to give her, like, Benadryl before we leave. Some of y'all, the rest of y'all, let's life them, y'all, too. But, no, we leave at 10, so be here at 9 o'clock. We're leaving from the church here at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, but be here at 9 o'clock so we can load up, get everything put in the bus, and be ready to leave at 10 o'clock, all right? Then we'll have time to fellowship and nap up in the evening, so just keep us in your prayers. And we love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for all of you that are going, the participation that we have. And thank you very much. I don't know if we'll have a service here or not, but if we do, I'll let you know. That's a month and a half away. But I'll let you know. I've been trying to, we may play a tape, or, you know, we may not even have service, but I sure hate to not have service, especially for the ones that are staying here. So we may just play a tape or something, because all the ministers and deacons and all will all be gone pretty much. So I want to read you this. My quote of the day from the testimony of a true witness, Brother Brown said, God's witness, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost itself living in us would never affiliate in an organization. You can't organize God. He's God. What will it do? Go back the same way it was in the first place. That's what we're going to be speaking on today, water baptism. It'll go back to the beginning, back to the original, back to where it started from. It'll baptize the same way they did. What? Early church, first church. It'll teach the Holy Ghost the same way that it did. They'll teach the people the same way that it did. It'll abstain from organizations like they did. It will have a room for all like you did who will come. They'll be clean and holy like they did. They'll be filled with the Spirit like they were. They'll be fearless like they were. The same thing that happened to them will happen to those in the last days, in the evening lights, like it was before. God, send that voice. God sent us that voice. Amen. The voice in the end time. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us again, Lord, a time that we can settle down just for a few minutes, Lord, and hear from you. Father, we pray that what we say will be pleasing to you, Father. It's going to come straight from your word. But let it may it enter into our hearts, Lord, because without revelation, it's just like reading, sure enough, a newspaper. But we're not here to read newspaper. We're here to hear from you, Lord. We're here to hear from the will that you wrote us, Lord. When you died at Calvary, you gave us a will. You gave us a testimony, a testament written in your own blood, Lord. And now we're just giving the testament. We're giving the will out to the people that are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, we pray that you'd be with us in the furtherment of this service, be the ones that are being baptized. Lord, just give us this day our daily bread. We come for that, to receive our daily blessing from you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd just be with the ones that are not with us, the ones that are traveling, and the ones that are sick. Father, be with the ones, Lord, that Sister Trudy and Nyla and Sister Chloe, Lord, being overseas. Father, we pray that you'd be with them and touch them, bring them back safe, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we need some rain. We need some rain. My poor little garden needs some rain. All right, so let's go to Matthew. Now, we're going to talk on water baptism since we've had water baptism for the past today. If only three get baptized, that'll be 19 that'll be baptized. So that's a pretty good group of people to be baptized. Some were rebaptized and some had never been baptized before. But like I said, sometimes some people just get baptized because their neighbor gets baptized or their brother gets baptized or their sister gets baptized. And but we're going to talk about today correct baptism, and we're going to show it in the Bible. Listen, we don't need quotes to prove these things. God did send us a prophet, just like he sent Peter, James, John, Paul. People have problems with prophets. I don't have a problem. They've been prophets. God sent prophets since the dawn of time. They've been prophets. Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You know why people are afraid of William Branham? Because he was different. He preached the true word of God like it was in the first church age. He didn't compromise with anything. Amen? Amen. And I appreciate what he did. But like I said before, this is not William Branham's message. It's my message. It's God's message to me and you. It's he was a spokesman, a conduit, just like Brother Paul was playing the trumpet. That trumpet just sits there. It's totally mute without somebody picking it up and blowing into it and knowing how to play that trumpet. So what we're going to do today, I pray that God will help me just blow through this trumpet and show you some few things maybe that you never seen on water baptism, but maybe some things that you had, just a refresher course. So just pray for us. Let's go to Matthew 28, verse 16. So then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. I'll do the birthdays in a minute. And after service is over, I'll read the birthdays for June. Into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now look, this is right after the ascension. Everybody with me? This is the ascension. At the ascension, he's getting ready to go up. The day of Pentecost is getting ready to be fulfilled 11 days later. Everybody with me? All right, this is Jesus. Now look, listen. All the disciples are standing there except Judas. He's already hung himself. So all the disciples are there, all 11 of them. Everybody with me? All right. So they're listening to what you're listening to right now. And Matthew is writing it in his commentary. He is writing his part of the gospel that Jesus said, because Jesus didn't say this in every one of the gospels. He said it in this one. We're going to show that in just a minute. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Wow. Man just rose from the dead, showed himself, did mighty miracles, and he's standing there alive again, and some doubted. Some people would argue with a stop sign. Amen? But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them. What? Those that are going to listen. Yeah, I wasn't going to say who it was, but all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So there was no other power anywhere else, because he was Almighty God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, all right, baptizing them, not sprinkling, not just barely getting them under, no, baptize. We'll see what that is in just a minute. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Not in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost, because they're not names. He says in the name, singular, one name. of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Now look, he's telling the disciples, take what I've got. Take what I'm telling you. I'm God Almighty in human flesh. You know that. All power has been given unto me. And I'm fixing to leave. But I'm going to come back on the day of Pentecost, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying. And I want you to do exactly what I tell you. Because that's going to be the first church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts 2, verse 37. Now this is 11 days later, on the day of Pentecost. Everybody with me? It's not where we got like amnesia. It's like 10 years later, 5 years later, 2 years later. It was 11 days from when Jesus said what he said in Matthew to this right here in Acts 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What? Peter. Peter steps out. And says, men and brethren, he preaches them about a 30-minute most powerful sermon ever been preached. Because 3,000 people get converted. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now when they heard this, they, who the 3,000? Now remember, it was not 3,000 Jews. They were gathering on the day of Pentecost because it was a festival. So there was people from all nations that were gathered there, not just the Jews. All right? Everybody with me? Then Peter said, oh, wait a minute. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Something's different. We've never heard this kind of preaching before. He said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, so now look, all the apostles are there. Did I not just tell you the Bible said the 11 were there? Well, there's 11 plus there's 100 and something because there's 120 in the upper room. They got the Holy Ghost and here they come out on the porch and they're preaching. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a promise. For that promise is unto you and to your children and them that are far off. Thank God, United States of America. Amen. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It took them 11 disciples a long time to baptize 3,000 people, but the Bible said they were baptized. In Christian baptism according to Acts 2:38. Everybody with me? Because look what it says. It says, then they continued steadfast in the what? Apostles' doctrine. And fellowship. It wasn't that they got baptized and then heard Matthew say, no, I didn't hear. Matthew was there. Now Mark wasn't, Luke wasn't, but Matthew and John were there. And when Peter stood up and said, repent everybody and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Matthew said, praise God. Everybody with me? Because there's only one baptism. But we're going to get into that in just a minute. So they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. You may be seated in the Lord and his blessing to the reading of the word. Now the Greek lexicon right here we see in strong concordance, it's baptism and baptize. All right? Because there's two different things in the way we're going to look at it, because you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost or baptized in water. Is everybody with me? All right, stay awake today. I want y'all to stay awake. That's why I had you stand up a long time. We're going to stand up some more. All right, this word is baptizo. Now, I want you to look. This is going to be a little bit funny maybe to some people, but I want you to watch this. It means to wash or baptize. In other words, immerse. Because we want it to symbolize a death. Death, burial, resurrection. All right, that's what we're going to read in Romans before we go outside. To dip repeatedly or to immerse, to submerge. To cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, make clean with water, to wash oneself, or to bathe. All right, now watch this, to overwhelm. Now watch this. Not to be confused with 9/11, with bapto, because it's baptize and baptism. These are the two words he's talking about right here. The clearest example that show the meaning of baptizo is in text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 B.C., so he lived 200 years before Christ. That's what B.C. means, before Christ. It is a recipe for making pickles. I'm just reading what it says. It's a recipe for making pickles. And it's helpful because it uses both words. Nicander said that what? In order to make a pickle, the vegetable should be first dipped. Listen to what I'm saying. A pickle is what? It's a cucumber. And it's going to go through a change or a baptism, and it's going to change into a pickle. A cucumber is going to change into a pickle. But remember, once that change happens, you can't go back. Can't go back to the cucumber. Listen. Nicander says, in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped, bapto, which would be baptizing, into boiling water and then baptized in the vinegar solution. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Both verbs concern the immersion of vegetables in a solution. But the first is temporary. Your water baptism doesn't save you. It just wets the pickle. I mean, wets the cucumber. Sorry. It wets the cucumber. But now what happens when you boil it and put it in this vinegar solution? The second, the act of baptizing the vegetable produces a permanent change. When used in the New Testament, this word often refers to our union and identification with Christ than to our water baptism. Talk about he is believed and baptized shall be saved. Christ is saying that mere intellectual assent is not enough. There must be a union with him and a real change like the vegetable to the pickle. Pickle me, Lord. I don't know how you're doing that in Spanish, Luis, but pickle the pickle. So that's the word baptism. But look right here. Ephesians 4 verse 5 says what? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now I just read you two different ones. Seemingly different ones. Right? I read you Matthew 28:19 and I read you Acts 2:38. You can't do away with the Word of God. Can't change the Word of God. Can't make it fit your idea. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. All right, so how are we going to get this thing started? Matthew 3, verse 4 says in the same John. Now, this is John the Baptist. Why in the world was he called John the Baptist? Because he baptized people. And the same John had raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle. Boy. And his meat was locust and wild honey. He ate healthy. I don't know about the locust. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about Jordan. And what? And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. John gets a revelation that they need to be baptized, confessing their sins, but not calling on a name because he didn't know who that was yet. Everybody with me? All right, so let's go to Matthew 3, verse 13. Now look, Jesus, if we have to start our Christian journey with water baptism, then Jesus, he figured he better start his earthly journey in water baptism. Amen? Then come Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so. In other words, you're right, but thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. What was he doing? John was washing the sacrifice. The sacrifice in the Old Testament, the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, had to be washed before it could be sacrificed. So Jesus came to be washed as the ultimate sacrifice. He came, the ultimate Lamb of God. He came to be washed before his sacrifice. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, Jesus must have done something that pleased the Father. Amen? Isn't that what we're here for? Amen. All right, so now look. For Jesus to start his earthly journey, his teaching was, John's teaching was baptized. Jesus' teaching was what? The kingdom of heaven in the hand. You must be born again. Everybody with me? But now, what did he say in John 5:43? He said, I came in my Father's name. Everybody with me? I came in my Father's name, John 5:43. And we know that the church started in the book of Acts. Everybody with me? The church, the real church, started in the book of Acts. In AD 30, at the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, started this new church, started the bride. started what Jesus told them to go and get new converts, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then 11 days later, they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody's either confused or we're confused. One of the two. All right? And the man that wrote it, Matthew, was standing there when all that was going on. He should have said, no, wait a minute. Jesus told us something else. Because, you know, you listen in the denominational world, they'll tell you, they say, well, we'll take Jesus' baptism over Peter's. We'll explain it in just a second, because they can't be contrary, and the Bible cannot be contrary to each other. Amen. So the church started in the book of Acts. Everybody with me on this? The beginning of the bride body, the most important thing, the foundation, the first church age, God had to start his church right. He could not start his church wrong. He had to start his church right. And he did. So he gave the institution to the 11 disciples of what to do in the book of Matthew. And we'll read that again in just a minute. But he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, get new converts, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we're going to see some other places where it talks about raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out devils. But now look, there was 3.5 year spot that Jesus preached. Remember, from the day he was on Jordan River, he started his preaching that the kingdom of heaven is here and you must be born again. And then he expounds for 3.5 years. Is everybody with me? All right, he expounds for 3.5 years. Now look, then there's 4 gospels that comes out of that 3.5 years. Is everybody with me? Amen? 4 gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They cannot be contrary to each other. They are complementary to each other. Everybody with me say amen. All right? There's 4, not different ways of looking at it. It's 4 ways of looking at it. Amen? Everybody with me? Now, what God instituted, though, is that what? I'm going to have a book of Acts. I'm going to come back on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to enter into my people, and I'm going to start my church. And I'm going to start it right. And I'm going to use these 4 gospels, these 4 men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to put a guard around that book of Acts. Because what does the book of Acts mean? It means the way that the apostles acted. That's why it's called Acts. So it's the Acts of the Apostles. Actually, it's the word put in action. Because remember, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not one person got saved while Jesus was here except the thief on the cross. And he got eternal life imparted to him when he got over into paradise, not here on the earth. So Jesus was what? Talking about a future event that was going to be written down or penned or whatever you want to say by 4 different individual people. Everybody with me on this? Don't be quiet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 4 gospels. We read them. All right? Remember, there's a 5th gospel. All right? Mama. What the prophet said, and I believe it. But there's 4 gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they guarded the book of Acts. Amen. Whatever they said in those 4 gospels had to coincide with the book of Acts, because the book of Acts, the church wasn't started in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Anybody with me? The church was not started in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was started in Acts. Acts 2:38. I just read it to you. The Holy Ghost fell on 120 people. Changed their life entirely, and they were so scared beforehand that they locked themselves up. Now they got so filled with the Holy Ghost, they burst the doors open, went outside, and the men said they must be drunk. They were staggering around. They were praising God. They didn't care who saw them. Matthew and John were there. All right? They missed something up there. Mine's up. There we go. So now you got the 4 gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we know that, according to the Bible, that there's 4 beasts. We're going to read it here in Revelation. There's 4 beasts that guard the altar, or that guard. Remember back in the Old Testament when you had the Ark of the Covenant, which was what? The Word of God. Everybody with me? That was the Word of God. They were protected by a lion, ox, man, and eagle banner. You had 3 tribes, 3 tribes, 3 tribes, and 3 tribes. That made 12. Even in Banks County, we can add. Well, that's multiplication. But they were guarding the mercy seat. They were guarding that thing that they cherished the most. So in the New Testament, as the New Testament begins, God, the book of Acts, is the Acts of the Apostles. It's when his children were born. It's when he was going to start his church the right way. So he had a guard. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Lion, ox, man, and eagle. If you don't believe me, look in your Scofield Bible. If you got a Bible, look in the flower. And when you come to every Matthew, it says the boldness of a lion. It says the labor of an ox for Mark. It says the intelligence, because what was Luke? Luke was a physician. He was smart, intelligent. So there's the man. And then the eagle anointing was John. There was a lot of prophetic things that John said that nobody else put in the gospel. But those four together, though, they dovetail just like this. They don't come apart, but what they do is to, they guard whatever that is in Acts, that's what they guard. Amen. Everybody okay with that? Let's read Revelation 4, verse 1. It says, after this, what? After the church ages. This is John. After all the church ages, he's being caught up. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one, not three, one sat on the throne. Amen. And he that sat on was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. There was a rainbow around the throne and in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, which was what? The 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. Is everybody with me on that? 24 elders, all right? And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. They had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now we know that was not, God doesn't have seven spirits. He's one spirit. But he has seven dispensations that he works in. All right, is everybody with me on that? And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. So here's a sea of glass. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf or an ox. The third beast had the face of a man. You say, Brother Wade, what's this got to do with water baptism? If I wasn't reading you this, it wouldn't have anything to do with it. It'll go in there somehow. The third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now these four beasts, the lion, ox, man, and eagle, we know as believers that was the Holy Ghost. It was shown to us in Ezekiel that it was a wheel, the middle of the wheel, part of the wheel. It was right there with the children of Israel. But it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost in your life, the believers. But now remember, these are not beasts. There's two different kinds of beasts in the Bible. Is that correct? One is a therion beast, which is an untamable, irreverent beast. And that's the beast over in Revelation. But these beasts right here are called zoons. I'm reading it right here out of the Greek lexicon. They're zoons. They're living beings. So in other words, it's not just an allegory. It's something living. And those four beasts, as the Bible said, make up one. They have eyes before and behind. Revelation, they see in the past, they see in the future, they see on either side. It's the Holy Ghost helping me and you see what's going on. Everybody with me on that? All right? So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They guard those four beasts, the lion, ox, man, and the eagle. Would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I tell you again, read in your Scofield Bible, look in the very front of it. It'll say the book of Matthew, it'll say lion, book of Mark, ox. And you can look at their commentaries and you can see that Matthew was really bold. Go forth into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark didn't even say that. Mark was laboring the whole time he was in his commentary or in his chapter. And then Luke was very intelligent. There was a lot of things that he knew because remember, Luke wasn't there when all this happened. God had to show it to him, and he had to write it down, all right? And then John was the prophetic, and there's a lot of John. You know, do you know that about 75% of John was written in the upper room? John 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, all those about five or six chapters, Jesus spoke to them, and then it said they went to the garden. So he's the only one that wrote that whole sermon that Jesus preached about us being one and about them protecting you, and I mean about God protecting you and all. That was written in the upper room. Right. Nobody else wrote about it but John. But yet Matthew, he was there with them. All right? Everybody with me on this? We're going to make a point here to where it'll nail this thing down. All right? So now you've got the book of Acts. All right? The book of Acts, which is the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the Apostles. And they acted right. Everybody with me? They acted right. They didn't start this thing wrong. They started it right. Yes. On the day of Pentecost, God wanted his church started right. And he wants his church, as I read that quote, he wants the church in the end time to be right. He requires that it's right. Everybody with me? So now look, Matthew, what do you say about this? Well, this is how I'm going to guard the book of Acts. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now listen, he's given them a commandment. Jesus himself, God Almighty in human flesh, is giving them a commandment. And 11 days later, they turn around and don't do it. Think about it. Matthew, how are you going to guard the book of Acts? Well, this is what Jesus said. This is the lion. This is the lion of the tribe of Judah. This is exactly what Jesus said on that day right before the ascension. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Now let's see what Mark has to say about it. This is the ox. Mark 16, verse 14 says, and afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. This is the same exact scenario that we're in Matthew. Everybody with me? As they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now this is the same thing that happened over there in Matthew, but Mark is writing his version of it, or his part of it. It's kind of like a preacher said one time, and I agree with it, that Matthew had a strand of the rope, Mark had a strand of the rope, Luke had a strand of the rope, and John had a strand of the rope, and Jesus was a rope. They just twirled it together to make one. Because they couldn't be different. Had to be the same. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because remember back up there in Matthew, it says that many what? Some doubted. Right there, some doubted. This is the same thing, Mark, what are you writing? How are you going to protect it, Mark? Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now Matthew, you told your part. Here I'm going to sell my part. By the Holy Ghost, because remember, the lion, ox, man, and eagle is the Holy Ghost, not two Holy Ghosts, not two different opinions, one opinion, and it's God's, and I believe it. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, here we go now, Mark, how are you going to protect that book of Acts? Well, I'm going to tell them what they're going to do. Matthew told them what Jesus said. Mark's going to tell them what's going to happen after they get the Holy Ghost. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Not in my title. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. Same scenario we're going to look over here in John. Same one in Luke, same one in Mark, is the same one in Matthew. They all four had four different versions, four different strands of the same rope. But it was still the rope. Because he said, in my name. My name. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now look, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. How are you going to protect it, Mark? I'm going to tell them what's going to happen when they get the Holy Ghost. After they're baptized in correct baptism. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the man anointing. Here's Luke 24. Now watch this. I really had never read it like this before until the Lord had me go back and read it. But every one of these has something to do with a name. Matthew said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark said, in my name they shall cast out devils. Now watch Luke. Here's the man anointing, the smart guy. How are you going to protect it, Luke? And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins. What did Acts 2:38 say? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. What does a man say, Luke? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Isn't that the same thing Jesus said? And you're a witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise. What's the promise? Acts 2:38. Baptize in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So they're going to the upper room to be endued with power and a false baptism. No, that ain't happening. Luke, how you guarding it? I'm going to say it just like Matthew did, but just in a little bit different way. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. All right, let's see, John, what you got to say about this? Here's John. Here's the eagle anointing. Here's the prophetic anointing of God. John, verse 21, verse 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to who? Simon Peter. Simon, son of Joseph, Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now who is this he's talking to? Peter. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Jesus talking. It's in red letter. If you don't mind, that's red letter. I didn't put that there. That was there from the Bible. Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, and thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He fed his lambs on the day of Pentecost, but he fed his sheep later on in his life. There's a difference in a lamb and a sheep. A lamb's a little bitty thing. Sheep has been what? Grown up a little bit. Everybody with me? Feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, I am going to give you the responsibility to feed my people. And not feed them false. Feed them true. He said unto him again the second time, and he said, feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. But Peter didn't have a lot of brotherly kind. I mean, he didn't have a lot of patience and temperance because he wasn't born again yet. But when he got born again, he probably knew he should have not have said this. But Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said to me, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him one more time, feed my sheep. Peter was the spokesman on the day of Pentecost. Jesus, we're going to see you here in just a minute. Peter got something that Jesus didn't have. Maybe you'll stay awake for a minute. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. John 10 verse 25. The works that I do in my Father's name. Now remember, Father's not a name. What was the name of the Father? Jesus Christ. Amen. Father's a title. Jehovah's a title. Rose of Sharon is a title. We'll read what a title is. It's a word put before or after a name to signify a position. It has nothing to do with person. But ye believe not, because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep, Peter, my sheep is going to hear my voice through you. That's how Peter's going to feed them. He's going to speak the voice of God through Peter. The voice of God's going to speak through Peter and feed his sheep.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life.
Amen.
And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Praise God. Matthew 16, verse 13 said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, the one that's going to feed his sheep, the one that's going to stand up on the day of Pentecost and proclaim this new beginning of how to do this in your Christian journey, this is how you're going to do it. Because Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter was given the commission to feed that first church age. Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you a set of keys. Jesus didn't even have, Jesus gave them to him. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatsoever I shall loose on earth, you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. He gave that to Peter. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He didn't give them to John. He didn't give them to Paul. Hello? He gave them to Peter. So Peter's got the keys of the kingdom. Whatever he's going to unlock, God's going to unlock it in heaven. Whatever he's going to close down here, God's going to close it in heaven. Everybody with me? Matthew 11, verse 25 says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. By four different gospels. Four different men's vision of the same rope, but they have their strand. But when you weave them all together, it's got to be revealed to babes by the Holy Ghost. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. As I was saying this morning, God never wanted the Bible to be read like a newspaper. It's a love letter. It has no power read as a newspaper. Sure, it gives you wonderful history. It gives you stories. It gives you people. And it gives you all these different things. But without the inspiration that it was written with, it's just like reading a newspaper.
Amen.
And how many know that the newspaper is a real reliable source of information? Just like the internet. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son.
Amen.
And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
Amen.
In other words, if it's not revealed in that correct way right there, you'll have a Trinitarian doctrine. You'll have three persons in a Godhead, and ain't no such thing. A person is a personality. Personality is an individual. They're not three equal gods. You can't have three equal gods. Which one was born first? Who created one first? They just all appear at one time? No. There's only one God with many manifestations. So now we're fixing to open a door. Matthew, you're on this side. Mark, you're on this side. Luke, you're on this side. John, you're on this side. And inside of you is a book of Acts. Inside of you is a way to get the Holy Ghost. So we're getting ready to open a door. And somebody's got the key. Amen. We know who's got the key. Peter's got the key. Peter, now what do you got to say when you open that door? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Amen.
Click. Repent. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He unlocked it down here, and God wasn't up in heaven going, oh, Peter, shh, shh, shh. That's not what I said. When I was on earth, I didn't say that. He said, there's my son doing exactly what I saw he would do from eternity. I gave him the keys. I wanted him to have the keys. Because he was the one that was going to start that church right. The most vile of all of them. Most of us. Peter cursed, threw stuff. Cut somebody's ear off. Went fishing when Jesus wanted to talk to him. But Peter, once you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to be different. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and them that are far off. Many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word.
Amen.
Gladly received that baptism. Matthew was standing there. All the other disciples were standing there. And they didn't say, Peter, that's not what Jesus said. Have you ever thought about that? They were standing there in all four Gospels. The 11 disciples were standing there with Jesus when he said what he said. Now they're everyone standing with Peter.
Amen.
And there's no dissension. There's no controversy.
Amen.
They gladly received his word. And they were baptized. That's what I was shouting about out in the garden. I thought, man, look at that. They were gladly received it. They opened the door, Peter. You got the key. What are you going to say about it? Matthew, how are we going to get to Acts 2:38? He said through Matthew 28:19. Luke, how are you going to get to Acts 2:38? We're going to go and tell to baptize in my name. John, we're going to tell a story about Peter feeding sheep. Because that's what's going to happen on the day of Pentecost. That's how we're going to get. Listen, the only way to truly baptize is to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same day were added about 3,000 souls. So they got baptized the right way. There was 3,000 people added to the kingdom. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They went to church. The apostles' church. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer.
Amen.
Now I want to ask you something while we're stopped right here just for a second. I know we've all heard this, but when we went to the Philippines and Brother Ernie Villanueva and some of them started the Mystery Expo, what did they put on their banner? $10,000 to the first person that'll show anybody being baptized in the Bible in those titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Oh man, them brothers, them denominational brothers, they was heading through the Bible. You can't find it. I'll give you $10 million if you can find one person ever been baptized in the titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Uh-uh. Is the Bible that confused? Is the Bible that wrong? No, it's just hidden from the wise and prudent. Do you remember when somebody said something about water baptism to you and you're like, well, My mama was baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I got aunts and uncles that were baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? But when you saw it, what happened? When you really see water baptism, you'll see it. And there's no other way you can be baptized. I'll prove to you in just a minute, that was a Catholic doctrine started by the Catholic Church. I had a friend of mine one time, Mark. He got converted, and he was real zealous. He was a Baptist. And he was talking about the Roman Catholic Church being the old mother whore, and about them praying to saints, and about, you know, this, that, and the other. And I looked at him, I said, Mark, that's wonderful. I said, but you baptize exactly the way they tell you to baptize. No, we don't know it. Let's go read something right here. Nowhere in history until the Roman Catholic Church was anybody ever baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ or the Lord, until the Catholic Church changed it. And nowhere in the Bible has anybody ever been baptized in those titles. Acts 4 verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, so he's not just some guy that walking around on the street that they picked up off the street and said, here, say this. Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, he's talking about healing the man at the Gate Beautiful, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the name whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Amen. Now see, he's magnifying what Mark said. How do you get in, Mark? Some people got to be healed. That's what he's telling them right here. Whom you crucified, whom Jesus, God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which set it not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, not title, there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Can your neighbor take knowledge that you've been with Jesus? Can your friends at work take note that you've been with Jesus? Acts 8. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Why? They heard the name of Jesus Christ. And what did Philip do? He didn't baptize them in titles. He baptized them in the name of who he was preaching about. In the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which they were done. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, what, the Holy Ghost, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Acts 10, verse 43 says, To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came to Peter, because that on the Gentiles, us bunch of heathen dogs, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them. Now listen, they got the Holy Ghost. They're born again believers. And Peter said, that's okay. But you still need to be baptized. Amen. And he commanded them. He didn't ask them.
That's right. Amen.
He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Amen. Then pray they him to tarry certain days. Acts 19. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we got a seed. We don't need the Holy Ghost. Oh, I didn't say that. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John.
Right.
All right, they were baptized by a prophet.
Amen.
But not in a name.
Amen.
Hmm. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen?
Amen. Now here, this is a name. I want you to listen to this. Listen, this is the definition of name. All right, everybody wake up. This excites me more than preaching on the Son of Man for a moment here, if you don't mind. I'm sorry. But to be so right, the world is so wrong. They'll fight you over this. Because of what? Misinterpreted theology, ill teaching. A name. Our names are as incredibly important, are an incredibly important part of our what? Identity. They carry deep, personal, cultural, familial or family, and historical connection. They also give us a sense of who we are.
Yes.
The communities in which we belong, and our place in the world.
Yes.
Now, what is a title? I had to write it down because I couldn't get it to come up on the computer. It's words used before or after a name, signifying a profession or a position.
Yes.
Dr. Sam Jones. Father Samuel Dale. Director of Operations, Donnie Fallbush. See what I'm saying? But now, when he signs a check, he's not going to sign Director of Operations. He's going to sign his name. He can put Director of Operations, but if there's no name behind it, it means nothing. So it's words used before or after. That's a title. A title gives you a position. So, Matthew, what are you doing? He said, I'm giving God. I'm telling you what Jesus said. This is his position.
Amen.
He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But for you to get baptized the right way, you got to go through my door. You got to go through my lion anointing, L-I-O-N, anointing. And then when you get into the book of Acts and you get into the Holy of Holies, you're going to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our names are an incredibly important part of our identity. They carry deep personal and cultural, family, historical connection. They give us a sense of who we are. Jesus said in John 5:43, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you'll receive. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed.
Amen.
Word or deed.
Yes.
Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Philippians 2:8 says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. Not a position. Not yet. Give him a name, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Galatians 3:26. Said, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Not a title. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor is either bond nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Colossians 2, verse 11 says, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. That means the circumcising of the heart. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Thomas, if you'll give those out. There's a little, we found those long time ago. And it's, well, you can read it. But if you look down at the bottom, when you get one of these, you'll look down at the very bottom, or look up to the top. It's really funny because they put, which of these were practiced by the apostles in the early church, which form of baptism? And Jesus' name's over here, and Father, Son, Holy Ghost is blank. 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 Because it's not going to happen. Everybody all right with that? While you're looking at it, I'll read some of it. And the baptism in Jesus' name was to the Jews, repent and be baptized. That's Acts 2:38. Samaritans, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 8. Gentiles, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10. Peter taught baptism. There's none other name given whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. Paul taught, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Matthew 28:19 was a command by Jesus to baptize in a name. Amen. The apostles did not repeat the words of the command, but they did obey it as seen in the scriptures above. Since Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are titles of the manifestation of the Almighty Spirit and His body, the apostles understood His saving name to be Jesus. Can you dare say that the apostles disobeyed the Lord or failed to baptize properly? The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Lord Jesus Christ. The actions of the apostles in the book of Acts prove this to be true. Baptism in Jesus' name. Let's continue reading. This is in Encyclopedia Britannica, volume 3, page 365. The baptismal formula was changed from the name of Jesus Christ to the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by Catholic Church in the 2nd century. Britannica Encyclopedia again. Everywhere in the oldest source, it states that baptism took place in the name of Jesus Christ. Volume 3, page 82. The Canny Encyclopedia of Religion. The early church always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until development of the Trinity doctrine in the 2nd century. That's page 53. Catholic Encyclopedia. Oh my goodness. This is coming right out of the beast. Right out of the Catholic Church own book. Catholic Encyclopedia. Justin Martyr was one of the early fathers of the Roman Catholic Church, and he's the one that changed, if you'll read on down a little bit further. Hastings Encyclopedia of Religion. Name was an ancient synonym for person. Payment was always made in name of some person referring to ownership. Therefore, one being baptized in Jesus' name became his personal property. Hallelujah. Volume 2, page 377 on Acts 2:38. New International Encyclopedia. The term Trinity was originated by Tetralem, a Roman Catholic Church father. Volume 22, page 477. So when they developed the Trinitarian doctrine, that's when the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism came. It had to be the same devil. It was the same devil doing the same thing. All right? So now let's read this, and then we'll be ready to go from. We're going to sing a song before we go. But this is what I read out there, so I'll not read it out there. I'm going to read it here. For those of you that are going to be baptized, listen to this. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now this is Paul talking to the Romans. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, not into Father, Son, Holy Ghost, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Death, burial, resurrection. I've always said we're going to a funeral today. Something is going to die, and you will decide whether it dies or not. Hello, somebody. You will decide if it will die. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What I say before, all those that we saw back in 2015, 2016, different ones, we've never seen them again. They did not walk in newness of life. It actually made them worse. So I wouldn't just go to the water and say I'm going to get baptized because my friend did. Because you're identifying supposedly who you're married to Jesus Christ, not to a father or a son or a ghost. Amen? Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified. What happened on the day of crucifixion? Three people died. I don't know of anybody that came off of a cross alive. The sole purpose to put them on that cross was to kill them. So the sole purpose of today for you to nail your sins, nail those demons to that cross and forget about it. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Yes. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Yes. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves. Think about this. To be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Water baptism is essential. Very important. But you can receive the Holy Ghost without being baptized. But I don't believe you receive the true baptism of the Holy Ghost and not want to then be baptized. To make sure everything is right the way it's supposed to be. To make sure that you're doing everything, because you know what? One little crack. Who is in the crack? Satan. The devil's always in the crack. Because he's waiting on it to make it wider. And we're not going to make that thing wider. We're going to what? We're going to put him to death. He's going to die today in a group of people. And if you've not been baptized or you want to be baptized again, if you think you just got baptized because your cousin did, then please. Be rebaptized today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, what are you saying? You got to go through me first. You got to know what Jesus said. But you got to look to Acts 2:38 and see exactly what was going on. Because I'm guarding this thing, this precious book of Acts, this precious group of people. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the guards that guarded that book of Acts. And they didn't tell you anything different than what the book of Acts was. But they guarded it to make sure, listen, to make sure not everybody went in. Listen, this is for everybody, but everybody's not going to accept it. Amen. They're going to stop when Matthew 28:19. Well, I think I'll take this baptism and that'll be it. They never got to Acts 2:38. So they never fulfilled. They, the world, the denominational world, they think they're fulfilling what Jesus said. They are not. They're not fulfilling what Jesus said. They got about halfway there. But Christian baptism was on the day of Pentecost. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's who we're identified with. Musicians, let's come. We're going to sing a song. We sang this song. This song was written by Brother George Canada. And it was written by Brother George Canada, which was Sister Esther and Brother Joseph's dad, and Brother Mike Canada. On the way to Jeffersonville, they wrote these words when they saw the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Tatum was there. He was a deacon with us for years and years and years. And then also Brother Ernest Moat, which was the first pastor here at the church, which is Charlotte's dad and Joyce's dad. He was the first pastor here for a few years when we first got started. They went to Jeffersonville. Let's stand to our feet. You don't need it because it's going to be on the screen. You're going to help me sing it. We sang this as a group, but the group hadn't been together long enough to sing it. So we're going to sing, If I Were You, I'd Make a Change. And I'm going to tell you, everyone today, if I were you, I'd make a change. Let's sing the chorus first.
Oh, if I were you, I'd make a change. If I were you, I'd make a change. Oh, if I were you, I'd make a change. And I'd be baptized in Jesus' name.
Listen to these verses. They wrote these.
Peter preached on the day of Pentecost.
Oh, we just read about that.
When 3,000 souls they came.
Men and brethren, what must we do? Oh, he said, oh, repent and be baptized in his name.
Oh, if I were you, I'd make a change. If I were you, I'd make a change. If I were you, I'd make a change, and I'd be baptized in Jesus' name.
Verse 2.
If you want to be complete in Him.
Everybody want that?
If you want the fullness within, in the name of Jesus, be baptized.
If you have to be baptized again.
Oh, if I were you, I'd make a change. If I were you, I'd make a change. Oh, if I were you, I'd make a change. And I'd be baptized in Jesus' name. Paul finding certain disciples.
Acts 19.
They were brethren that had just begun. Oh, how then were you baptized?
They said, we were baptized under John. But now what Paul telling?
If I were you, I'd make a change. Oh, if you, I'd make a change.
If I don't, it just does something to me. Sorry.
Were you, I'd make a change, and I'd be baptized in Jesus' name.
Refuse to read it anymore. Don't refuse.
You'll have trouble at the gate about Acts 2:38. Were you, I'd make a change.
Say it to him.
Oh, if I were you, I'd make a change. If I were you, I'd make a change. Oh, if I were you, I'd make a change. And I'd be baptized in Jesus.
Now listen to this. We're going to sing this a little bit different.
If you have to cross Chili Jordan before I do, just tell old Paul
that you made a change and you've been baptized in Jesus' name.
Oh, just tell old Paul that you've made a change and that you've been baptized in Jesus' name.
Sing a chorus one more time.
Oh, if I were you, I'd make a change. If I were you, I'd make a change. If I were you, I'd make a change, and I'd be baptized in Jesus' name.
If you want to listen to that, I think it's still on the sixth seal. They sang that at the tabernacle before the service started. And on certain tapes, you can hear it. If you'll get some of the old tapes, you can hear them singing that song. And the place just went bonkers. Because the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ had really just came to the forefront of Brother Branham's ministry, even in the 63 while he was preaching the seals. And here they are, God helping them to write this song. If I were you, I'd make a change and be baptized in Jesus' name. Freedom. Yes, to Jeffersonville. Yes, they wrote it. Yeah. Didn't that write, Charlotte? Didn't they write it on the way to Jeffersonville? Your daddy. I just hope God let them look over. Look over the banister of time and just see that we're still singing that song 60 years later. And it still means as much to me as it did 60 years later to that group of people that were gathered in the tabernacle to listen to the prophet of God preach. And I'd be baptized in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done for us. We pray, Lord, that now as we go to the chilly waters of Jordan, that, Lord, it'll not be in vain, but it'll accomplish, Lord, what it said. That if we would repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'd give us the Holy Ghost. Lord, that's my desire, Lord, is standing in this pulpit is to see every person filled with the Holy Ghost and working their way up that statue of a perfect man, Lord. Being filled with your Spirit from young adults, kids, all the way up to the older class. Lord, I pray that we'll bind ourselves together, Lord. And Lord, as we go to the baptismal pool, may you be with the ones, Lord, that are being baptized and the ones that are thinking about it now, Lord. I pray that you would be with them. Father, just bless us and take care of us. Be with us. We'll come back together on Wednesday night, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, we got to do the June birthdays, and then we'll be dismissed, and we'll get ready. If you want to be baptized, the sisters, get with Sister June. She's downstairs, I think. Oh, no, she's right there. If you need a towel or anything to use during the baptismal service, and some of you men, if you want to see the deacons, Brother Bob or Brother Terrence, one of them, about clothes and the different things that you need for the baptismal service. And then we'll go from here directly down there. I'll change, and then we'll do that, okay? In June, Regina Arline's already had one. These are all the geriatrics. Wow. Regina, Mama, Donnie Fawbush, we're getting older. Barbara, Arlie. Sorry, Sister Barbara. Timmy Martinez, bro, on the 24th. Melissa Negron. Melissa, you're going to be in July the 25th. June the 25th. Jean Kirkland. And God bless you, Sister Jean. I miss you. And Jonas Canada is going to be 20. It says 29 years old. Oh, no, that's on the 29th. On the 29th. So let's sing happy birthday to them before we dismiss so we don't make anybody mad. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you and the best year you've had. Let's sing as we're dismissed. Oh, happy birthday to you.